kids already gone? Oh, that's a quiet exit. Amen. Good morning, everybody. Can you hear me okay? Can you hear me okay? Yep. Yeah? Yes? Okay. All right. Okay. Just want to make sure that you can hear me. Before I start, I'm just going to pray and just turn everything over to the Lord. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we just come before you now, Father God. Father God, I pray that, Lord, that you would just have your way, Lord. We yield our ears, we yield our hearts, we yield everything that we are to you in these moments, and we always do that, but we do it in these moments. Lord God, I yield my mouth to you, Father God. I pray that you would use me as a vessel, Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. I pray that as your word goes forth, Father God, that we already know it's promised that it will do that which it's set out to do, Lord. So I pray that you'll just prepare the hearts for what we're going to share. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. So I have one key verse this morning, and I think most of us probably know it, but it comes from John chapter 10, verse 10. So if you want to turn to somewhere, you can turn to there. Amen. And as Pastor Vince mentioned, I'm looking up on the screen, there's nothing on the screen, but as Pastor Vince mentioned, we're at the beginning of a sermon series entitled, If He Raised Jesus, He Can Raise You. If He Raised Jesus, He Can Raise You. And I think that's something that each of us are a living testimony of, the fact that He raised Jesus, and in similar fashion, God has raised us. But this morning, I want to narrow that down a little bit and just speak to you on one topic. So the title of my sermon this morning is simply Raised to Life. Amen. Raised Amen. To Life. So this morning, I want to speak to you about Raised to Life. And I was thinking and speaking to my wife, and a little over 7 years ago, it would have been 7 years, October that just passed, that October in 27, that I walked into this church and I gave my life back to Christ. When I was living my past life, I thought that I was living. But I walked into this church, I heard a guy leading worship, and I encountered God right here in this church. He touched my heart, I trusted him, and he raised me back to life. So the verse that we're really looking at this morning is taken from John chapter 10, verse 10. And it's a familiar verse. I think it's Pastor Vince's life verse, because we just hear that verse so much in this church. But it's that the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Just to tell you all a little bit about me, I was brought up in church. I served God wholeheartedly. I was telling Claire a few days ago that back in those days, when you were a young child in church, they used to work you hard. So whatever needed doing in the church, whether it was spring cleaning or painting or whatever, if carpet needed lifting up, you know, your mum would volunteer your services to that task. And I would volunteer my services to that task as well. I was in a church where the leader of that church was an evangelist, Evangelist Albert Chambers, and his mission was to go around London. So we used to do lots of tent crusades. We used to do lots of open air ministries. There were times where I'd be out on the street playing the bongos, and my friends would, I'd get to school on Monday, and they'd be like, "Oh, I saw you down the market playing the bongo drums with your crazy Christian friends." But that's the kind, they weren't crazy, but that's the kind of thing that we used to get involved in. I used to put my hands to the plow. I devoted my whole life to serve God. From the age of 0 to about 16, I was in church, I was encountering God, I was learning about God, I was loving God, I was a faithful witness in my school. When I was going to school from like the age of 11 to 16, they just knew me as the Christian. And I would stand and I would pitch my argument for my God against Sikhs and Muslims and anybody else that wanted to have a discussion about God. But that's the kind of person that I was. I didn't swear, I didn't smoke, I didn't cuss, I was a teacher's pet. And I would say, my mum's not here so I can say this, she might disagree, that I was even the model son. Well, sometimes I was the model son. But something happened to me. At the age of 16, I discovered girls. And I entered into a relationship with a particular girl at my church, and my pastor, being a spiritual person that he was, he must have perceived that something was awry, and he called me to go and have a meeting with him, and he advised me against that relationship, or to be very careful in that relationship. But I kind of just thought, you know, I'm fine. Nothing's going to happen that shouldn't happen. And I didn't listen to him. But eventually I got involved in things that I shouldn't have got in. And myself and a girl that I was with at that time, we entered into a physical relationship. I then had an issue. I was in a physical relationship with my partner, but I was going to church. And I should have chose to forget the relationship and keep going to church, but I didn't do that. I was torn over the guilt, so I chose a relationship. I chose a relationship instead of choosing God. I was living two different lives, and the conflict of it was really tearing me in two. So you see, I left church, and in that moment, something was stolen from me because someone was out to destroy me. Within a couple years of leaving church, I had a son out of wedlock. I moved from smoking cigarettes to smoking weed to taking drugs on weekends and then eventually taking drugs every single day. Wow. You see, something had been stolen from me. Someone was out to destroy me. Right. Satan was hell-bent on my destruction. But Jesus, even back then, had something far greater in mind. He was determined to give me life. And even whilst the enemy was plotting and planning and orchestrating my demise, Jesus was already project managing my restoration to life. You see, Jesus said in that verse that we just read, John 10:10, that I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So if there was a climax or a conclusion to this sermon, I'm going to give it right now. And it's simply this, a simple sentiment that I want everyone to take home this morning, irrespective of the circumstances or where you are in your walk with God, that Jesus has come simply to give you life. John, 1 John 5:11 says, and this is the testimony, God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life, but whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. So Jesus came to give you life, a life acquired by grace and through faith. So for each of us this morning, as I go through, I really just want to instill hope in each of you. I know that many of us here, I think I know nearly everybody here, many of us are saved. And maybe our lives are not as tragic or as sin-filled as what my life was back then, as what I'm describing, and before I came to Christ. But each of us encounter challenges that make us sometimes want to give up hope. Challenges that can sometimes make us feel like we're dying inside. We heard last week from Pastor Nick about David and about those cave experiences that we each have. Lisa likes to speak about when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But she reminds us that even in the valley of the shadow of death, that there is some growth that is taking place. And each of us have our cave moments, our cave experience that we go through in life. When we lose a loved one, when we ourselves become sick, or a relationship ends, or a friend betrays us, or depression, oppression, self-loathing, any of these things, unfulfilled desires, so many things can lead us to feel hopeless and lifeless. But I'm reminded, and I want to remind you, that Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. When we read the Bible, the New Testament, and we see the great things that Jesus went about doing, there's a verse in Luke 7, verse 22, and it says this, of Jesus. It talks about Jesus, and it says this, the blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Again in Acts, it speaks of Jesus, and it says this, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. That same Jesus that went around doing all those things now is then is the same Jesus that we serve now. In Hebrews it says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus Christ went around bringing things back to life then, and he does the same thing now. He is in the restoration and in the redemption business. So if we come back to my testimony, 7 years ago I walked into this church. I didn't believe in Christ, but I believed that there was a God. I believed that there was a Christ. But I didn't believe in him, and I didn't want to live for him. I wanted to live for my own way. I didn't want to obey him. I wanted to live my life my way. But I came to church because my wife, who I was dating at the time, which was my partner at the time, I was dating, she thought that I was a Christian, and so she said to me, if you want to stay with me, you need to come to church, and you need to go back to God, and all of that kind of thing. So I said to her, okay, just to get her to be a little bit quiet, I said to her, I'll come with you to church. And she warned me before I came to church. She said, I want to warn you that when you come to this church, that you may feel like you want to cry, and if you cry, that's okay. And I said to her, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen to me. But I want to paint a picture to you, to each of you, that at that moment in my life when I met Claire, my life in my mind was good. I was earning great money. I joined a tech company straight out of uni. That was a startup tech company. And my salary went from zero to ridiculous amount of monies in a very short space of time. I had all the material things that I wanted. I had a bachelor pad. I had my black Sirocco that no one probably remembers but died last year. I was into my cars, I was into money, I was into going out and clubbing and partying, and I love music, I still love music, and I was into all of that stuff, and I of myself could not see why my life would not be complete. I drank, I partied it up, I wore nice clothes, I had all the material things that a man or woman could want, and I thought that I was happy. But the moment that I walked into this church and there was a guy, I won't ever forget the guy, and if I hope I meet him one day. I know Vince knows his name. But I walked into this church and you had a guy who was kind of like playing country and western music, or country music, American country music. And it's not the kind of music I was into. I was into funk and R&B and hip-hop and all that stuff. But I walked into this church and this guy was performing and he was leading worship. And immediately there was something on him, and it was the anointing of God. And the words that he said and the songs that he sang, they just broke through my heart. And I became immediately aware of the fact that I did, in fact, need something, and that something was missing. Something that I was thinking about is that you're not really aware, in a spiritual sense, you're not really aware of the fact that you're walking around in darkness until someone comes in and they switch on the light. And you're not aware that you're walking around in bondage until someone comes and sets you free. And you're not aware that you're even dead inside until someone, and in my case Jesus, touches you and raises you or brings you back to life. You see, Jesus brought me back to life 7 years ago. That moment I walked into this church, I encountered him and I trusted him. A dynamic supernatural exchange occurred. Heaven invaded earth. His soul touched mine. My soul touched his. And he brought me back to life. Romans 8:11 says, and if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you. Jesus' spirit invaded my heart and brought me back to life. And so I'm thinking about you, you know, wherever you are in your walk with Christ. I mentioned earlier about all of the different circumstances and situations that can plague us. But wherever you are in your walk with Christ, Jesus is about bringing you back to life and giving us that abundant life that he speaks of. I'm going to close in a minute. And I just have really 3 points that I just want to eke out that really spoke to me when I was thinking about the process that I went through and the process that we go through when Jesus is wanting to raise us back to life. So the first point is, Jesus came to provide light. Jesus came to provide light. I mentioned earlier that spiritually you're not aware that you're even walking around in darkness, whether it's a tough situation or whether you don't believe in Christ yet. You're not even aware sometimes that you're walking around in darkness until we allow someone to come in and turn on the light. I wanted to know what the word light meant. And when I Googled it, there were so many scientific explanations that I won't bore you with here. But there was one definition that really stood out to me. And it says this: light is the natural agent that stimulates and enables sight and makes things visible. Light is the natural agent that stimulates and enables sight and makes things visible. Jesus says in John 12:46, I have come as light into the world, so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. You see, Jesus provides the light in our lives so that we can see things clearly and from a heavenly perspective. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus came and comes to provide light. Number two, Jesus comes to set you free. Jesus comes to set you free from sin and from death, but also from fear, anxiety, disappointment, all of these other things, from sin and death. You see, sin separates us from God. And I know that many of us are saved, but sin separates us from God. And if it were not for Jesus, death would be our destination. But Jesus came to bridge the gap between us and God, to restore our relationship with God and to pay the price for our sins. A truth that sometimes we hear it so often, we can almost become accustomed to it. But if we sometimes just sit and wonder about the magnificent thing that happened so that Jesus could come and sacrifice his life for us, I think it would really affect us in a different way. And often as we come to Easter, we often try to think or spend time thinking more about the price that Jesus paid. But Jesus came to set us free from bondage, from the bondage of sin and death. Fear, anxiety, and disappointment. Jesus came to set us free from fear, anxiety, from disappointment, from sickness, from all of those things that plague us. Sorry, I just need to take a sip. A couple of weeks ago, I'll tell you something about my dad. My dad has been, he's been pretty unwell since about last September. He's not been too well. He's had a lot of things going on in his lower digestive system. And he's not really known what's been going on. And over the past months and stuff, he's had MRIs and CT scans or CAT scans and ultrasounds and all of these other types of things that I've never ever heard of, and biopsies and all of these other things. On the 7th of February this month, I remember that I had to, all of our family, I have two brothers, so my brothers, my mum and my dad, we all decided that we would accompany my dad when he went to the hospital to get the diagnosis or to get the results of whatever the circumstance was that he'd been facing. And on a Sunday I was preparing to come to church, and Pastor Vince just happened to send me a text message, and he sent me a text message just encouraging me. And none of you will believe this, especially after the week that we just had, but he sent me a text message, and as I read the text message to my wife in the kitchen, it began to snow outside. Now, I came to church, and Amber will remember, I said to her, "Did you see the snow?" And she didn't see the snow, and nobody saw the snow apart from myself and Claire. But a few weeks before that, I was saying to God, because I was quite upset about the situation that I knew my dad was in, I was like, "God, give me a Gideon-type sign." You know, Gideon prayed to God, and he said, "God, like, if you want me to go and do this thing, make this fleece be wet outside my door, but let the ground be dry." And then God did that, and then he said it the other way. "Let the fleece be dry and let the ground be wet," or vice versa. But I think you remember what Gideon said. So I said, "God, you know, let me know that you're with me in this circumstance, and just, you know, give me a Gideon sign." And when it started to snow, it, for me, it was like a confirmation of a Gideon sign, just reminding me that God was with me. And 3 days after that was the 7th of February, when I had to drive down to London with my family to go to the doctors, to go and see a consultant who would give us the results of whatever it was that was going on. And as I was driving down there, I just felt like an immense wave of joy and happiness. You know, there's a song that goes, "Joy unspeakable and full of glory." Maybe you don't know it. Maybe it's a British or a Caribbean song. But there's a song that goes like that, where you just talk about being full of joy, joy unspeakable. And as I was driving in the car down to London to support my dad, I just felt this immense weight of joy just come in. And I was reminded of the verse where the Lord said, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." And as that wave of joy came into me, even though I was going to get potentially bad news, I just felt joyous. I just felt happy. I just felt good. And I was so happy that I called my wife up and I said, "Claire, it's really weird, but I know I'm going to hear potentially bad news, but I feel really good. I feel like really, really joy-filled." Anyway, I went to my parents, picked them up, and we drove to the hospital, and we went and we saw the consultant. And as we were sitting there, the consultant was kind of like reviewing all of the different things that my dad had gone through. And like all of us are just there, we're like chomping at the bit. We're like, just get to the end bit. We just want to know what is wrong. But even in that place, I was happy. I was happy. I don't want that to sound tardy. I know my dad was going through a difficult thing, but I felt joy in terms of, I knew that whatever it was that the doctor said, that God had this. 11 years ago, my dad gave his life to Christ, and we'd been praying for him Well, my mum had been praying for him for at least 20 years. And eventually he gave his life to Christ. And he was trusting God for whatever it was that was going to happen. And so was I. So when I went into that room and I was supporting my parents, I was just reminding them that whatever happened, whatever the doctor said, that God had this. So anyway, the doctor told us, and he told us the news that you never ever want to hear in your life. And he unfortunately confirmed that my dad had a type of cancer. And I don't want you to feel pity. That's not why I'm telling the story. I just want you to know that, you know, that they told my dad that he had cancer. And of course, my parents were exceptionally emotional because we had all been wishing and hoping and praying that that wouldn't be the case. And they told us that it wasn't just cancer, but it was quite, you know, it had spread and it had done stuff that we had wished that it wouldn't have done. And so my parents in that moment, they broke down, and you know, my brothers, no one knew really what to do. Nothing in life prepares you for that moment. But I still had the joy of the Lord in me. And whilst I wasn't in there and whilst the doctor had told us the news, I wasn't in there doing a jig, but I was able to be in there and to not break down under the weight of the emotional experience that we were going through. And I was able to support my parents because my God was supporting me. And that's just the reminder that I want to give to you, that even when we're going through things that in life will sometimes be tragic and hurtful and painful and sometimes leave us feeling isolated and alone and alienated, we have the promise, and I know this, I'm speaking from the experience of the fact that God is always with us. You see, he came to set you free from sin and from death, from fear, anxiety, from disappointment and sickness. Satan wants to steal your faith. He wants to kill your joy and destroy your contentment. But God simply wants to remind you that he is for you. He is with you. He loves you. I heard it the other week that you are God's favorite. And that might be hard for us to fathom, but the preacher said you are God's favorite. Like each one of us, Anne Marie, Lisa, Sarah, each one of us individually are God's favorite. God is for each of us. He loves you. He sings and dances over you. You are the apple of his eye, and he is pleased with you. And he wants you to trust him, to trust him, to trust him. Vince put something on Facebook yesterday, and it really tickled me because it's a lesson that I've been learning. And I think that God wants each of us to learn that even when life brings tragedy and disappointments and difficult things, that irrespective of those things, that God is still good. That God is still good. God is still good. Psalms 27:13 to 14 says, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. But wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So irrespective of the circumstances that we face, never doubt that God is good, because God simply is good. Even in your pit of despair, reach out and trust him, and he will strengthen you and deliver you. And my final point, the point of the whole sermon, really, of the whole talk, is that Jesus came to give you life. You see, when I was back in my pre-Christian days, I thought that I had everything that I could possibly want. I was doing whatever I wanted to do, and I was enjoying it and having a good time and all of that stuff. But Jesus came in and he opened my eyes and he set me free from the bondage. I trusted him and he raised me back to life and he restored me. And that's exactly what he's wanting to do to each of us as we go on our walk with him. So wherever you are in your walk with God, he's wanting to do that for you today. Whatever circumstances you face, he's wanting to do that for you today. Whatever addictions, there is no addiction. And I tell you this, I come from a place where I struggled with addiction. I'm looking around and there aren't too many young people in here, so I can say this. But I struggled with an addiction to porn. And when I came back to Christ, that was something that I thought would never, ever be broken. There is no way that that kind of addiction could be broken. Drugs, smoking, drink, yeah, I'll give up all of that kind of stuff. But the addiction to that thing, I thought could never be broken because it has such a powerful pull on you. But I can tell you that even that addiction, Jesus broke. So if he can do that in me, I believe that he can do anything. He can do anything in anyone. I'm just going to read a verse just to seal this up. Jesus said, "For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. And I will raise them up at the last day." So I believe that God is wanting to do something in each of our lives today. God is wanting to raise you back to life. But the question for each of you, and the question for me when I made the decision to follow Christ, is will you let him raise you back to life? And will you trust him with your life. Amen. I'll hold back, hand back over to Pastor Vince. Amen.
Well, life changed. Amen. I remember specifically that night, it was a guy named Godfrey Birtle who was here. And Joel walked in the back of the door with Claire. And I said to Lisa, "Who's that guy?" I was like, you know, like a dad looking after his kids. You know what I'm saying? Who is this dude? So I was like, what's going on with him? You know, so we was worshiping. And I thought, and Lisa said, "Don't worry. It's going to be okay." So I turned and I said, okay, no problem. So as we began to worship everything and lift up God in this place, I turned around again and there were streams of tears running down Joe's face. I said, God's got it. I turned to look at Lisa and I said, God's got him. You know, he came into a place, a broken man, and he left out here whole. And that's what God did. And so he can do the same for each and every one of us. He's done the same for each and every one of us. And if you're a person who has not experienced God like that, he can do the same for you. He can make you whole. I love it because he does that. And so Joe was something else. And from that then forward, he wouldn't look me in the eye either. That's another thing. He wouldn't look me in the eye. I kept looking at him. He was like, I said, Lisa, this guy won't look at me. What's up with him? You know, all worried and everything, but God touched him. And aren't you glad that he's touched you too? Isn't that wonderful?